Good evening. It's a joy and pleasure to be here in Milan at New Hope. Got to see some people I haven't seen before. I told Brother Ricky, we moved up to Tennessee 21 years ago. I met my wife. We moved to Hendersonville, Tennessee, had us a little apartment. And somehow, some way, the night of our meeting, Dad told us that Brother Ricky was going to come stay with us. I don't know how that happened. My wife's eyes got as big as here in life. She's like, Brother Ricky's coming home. And I said, yes, baby. We were just married. Boy, it was... Anyways, it was a good time. We had a good time. And I look forward to having some more good times here this weekend. Thank you for having us. Trip over was good. And I'm going to stop with the short talk and I'm going to get right into it. How about that? If you... In Luke chapter 7, John's in prison, and he's having his doubts, and he we pick up and says that in verse 19 in Luke chapter 7, it says, and John calling up to him, two of his disciples sent him to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were coming unto him, they said, John Baptist sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? Can you imagine them coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and questioning him? There's no doubt in my mind that they were thinking, I can't believe we're fixing to ask the master. Is he? I mean, we love Brother John. I can see him looking at the Lord Jesus and like, I don't know why we're asking this, brother, or Jesus. You know, John wants us to come do it, so here we are. You know? And it says, in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Yeah. I talk to my kids all the time. I pray to the Lord for them that he would just open their eyes. Amen. To the trouble out there. You know, a songwriter and singer in 1972, his name was Johnny Nash. Not Johnny Cash. Johnny Nash. He said, no cloud, you know, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
Yeah.
I can see clearly now. When the Lord opens up the eyes of the blind, he opens up the eyes of the regenerate, and you can see the Lord for who he is.
Right.
Just like Isaiah seen. His train filled the temple, and he saw exactly who he was.
Amen.
He said, I'm a man of unclean lips, living amongst a people of unclean lips. So Paul said he was the least of all saints, not worthy of the grace that God had bestowed upon him. When God opens your eyes and you can see him high and lifted up, I'm telling you, it's a glorious sight.
Amen.
The older I get, the worse my eyes get, the worse everything gets. It's just the way it is. You know, you got to deal with it. But the Lord can heal just like that, and he can heal afar off. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. I wanted to look at some things here tonight that the servants of God saw, that they prayed that he would open up their eyes to see what they were seeing.
Yeah.
That's what we see when we come around people and we start talking about the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how good he's been to us all the days of our life. And so we found him down here at this old Primitive Baptist church. Primitive Baptist, yeah, come and see.
Right.
Come and see what we see, what we got, what we hold. We know who the Savior of sinners are. It ain't the preacher. It ain't the waters of baptism. It ain't your perseverance or your works. We see him high and lifted up. That's our Savior. That's our Redeemer. I'm telling you, it's a glorious sight. I can't wait to set my, you know, see him face to face.
Amen.
I'm tired of looking at this old face in the mirror. I want to see something way better than this old scallywag. But he said he did all that. Jesus answered and said unto him, go your way. Just go on. You tell old John, I got this. Don't worry. I am who I said I am. You've witnessed what I've done. You've seen what I've done. Why are you doubting? You go on your way. You tell them that they have seen what they have seen and heard, how the blind see. The blind see. There's nothing better than be able to behold something. I loved when my wife came down the aisle when we were getting married and I saw her. It was a glorious sight. And our bridegroom, he's up in heaven. I can't wait. I know you can't. I can't wait. I'm serious. It's a heart attack. Like, take me now. Come quickly, Lord. I want to see you. I want to see the person who came down to this earth and paid for my sins in full. Who made atonement for my sins. Who washed my sins as far as the east is from the west. Who doesn't want to see that? I want to see it. I want you to see it tonight. You know, Brother Cochran was preaching out there at Elijah. In 2 Kings chapter 6, he said, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open up his eyes. What I see, he ain't seeing. Yeah, can you imagine the servant getting up? We're toast. You know, my son says that all the time. Like, I'm toast, Dad. Now, kids nowadays, they say they're cooked. No telling what's next. I'm like, we're cooked, Dad. I'm like, what are you talking about? But Elijah prayed. He saw the horses and chariots. He saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He saw Jehovah God who had them. But his servant, he could not. He saw the trouble ahead. The rain was not gone. Okay? The rain was not gone. Elijah prayed that his eyes would be open, that the rain would be gone. He would see ahead. And I just love that. He said, open up his eyes that what? He may see. He had natural eyes, but he didn't have spiritual eyes. And we walk by faith. Not by sight. And I just love it. He said, the Lord opened up his eyes of the young man, and he what? And he saw. We were talking about on the way over here about being hungry and fed. And you read about being, you know, you shall be fed. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, what? You shall be fed. If you come to the house of God and you're not fed, what? Because the Lord can't feed you. Amen. He can definitely feed you. If you come hungry and thirsty, it says you shall be fed. Amen. There ain't no question about it. If you come to the house of God and you don't get anything out of it, you aren't that hungry. I'm just telling you, because He's promised you shall be fed. I don't care if it's just one word out of the sermon. I don't care what it takes. It ain't nothing too hard for the Lord. He can take the worst cook and make it the best sermon ever to that child of God who's hungering and thirsting after something better. He wants to see. He didn't come to also to be fed. He wants to see the Lord high and lifted up. That's what I want to see. I want to keep my eyes focused. Not like Peter pulling them down and sinking in the ocean. Lord, save me. He saw clearly enough to get out of the boat, walk on the water, and then he took his eyes off the Lord. His sight got really dim, and that's what this world can do to the child of God. They can make it blurry. We see it through a glass darkly while we're here on the earth, but we're going to see him face to face. It's going to be crystal vision. There ain't no TV they're coming out with today that's going to be clearer than what we're going to see when we dazzle around the throne room of God. I can tell you that. I don't care how bad your eyes, you got bifocals, trifocals, it don't matter with the Lord. The servant couldn't see, so Elijah prayed. And that should be our prayer for every one of the children of God out there. I'm not praying for the unregenerate. I'm praying for the ones who are thirsty and hungering for righteousness' sake. I want them to see what I've seen. I've been blessed with 49 years of my life growing up in the Primitive Baptist. I've seen a lot. I remember years ago when I was just a little kid, you know, knee high to a grasshopper, whatever they say. And we were down at Little Union Primitive Baptist Church in Lithia, Florida. And I was a little kid. And we were going through communion. And I don't know if you know any of those down there. But, you know, like the Barnums and the, you know, the Cunninghams. And they were all burly man, you know. And they were just rough and tough characters, you know. And I was a little kid. And I thought, man, these were men, you know. And we had communion. And we were washing the saints' feet. And I did it for several years. And I didn't see... And, you know, I was just going through the road. You know, I didn't know any better. And I saw these grown men embracing and tears just flowing down their face. And the Lord opened my eyes. I saw what they were seeing. Yeah. But how in the world are these men crying uncontrollably? I'm talking, it was not a dry eye in sight. And the Lord opened my eyes to see what they saw. It was glorious.
Praise God.
I'm like, only God can bring a grown man, you know, tough and rough, better than John Wayne and all the rest of those heroes, you know, how they could cry because they saw something, and I saw it for the first time. Just crushed me, just brought me down to my knees. I want to see. The Lord blessed me to see that. You know, and turn with me to 1 Samuel 14 and 6. And we got Jonathan and his armor bearer, and they're going up against the Philistines, and they're only going up against the Philistines, they're going up against the Philistines' garrison. There's a lot of them. There's a whole lot more than it was with Jonathan and his armor bearer.
Yeah.
But I want you to see, no pun intended, that Jonathan saw something that his armor bearer did not. He saw, I mean, on paper, no dice. Let's go run for those hills. Let's run to the mountains for safety. Nope. Jonathan's going to encourage him. It's like, come on. Let's go. And what did they have to go up against? It says in verse 4, in 1 Samuel 14, verse 4, it says, "In between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side." Now, I'm on blood thinners. If I see something sharp, I'm bleeding. Okay, that's just how it is. And what I like about the scripture, it didn't just say there was a rock on one side and there was a rock on the other. You may, well, it's a little tight spot. But when it says it's sharp, I can guarantee it's sharp.
Yeah.
And that's what he's encouraging his armor bearer we're going to go through. And I bet his armor bearer is saying, "You got to be kidding me." Okay? Sometimes I speak out of 3 Timothy, that's me. You got 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and 3 Timothy, so bear with me and give me some grace. But these are troubled waters. This is what they're going into. And not only if they make it through the sharp rocks, they get to go up against the Philistines and the garrison. Yeah. So it ain't going to get better if we make it through the rocks. But Jonathan saw something. He saw this Jehovah God who rules and reigns. And if God be with us, who can be against us, what Paul says.
Right.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
If God be for us in predestination and election and foreknowledge and calling and justification and one day glorification.
Yeah.
What's he say? If God be for us, who can be against us in all these things? Well, he thinks Jonathan's eyes were set upon his Jehovah God.
Yeah.
He will be with us. Yeah. We're on a mission here. So they get through the forefront. That was on the Situate northward and against Michmash, I make up words sometimes, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said unto his young man, the bearer's armor, "Come and let us go." That's why we need to be telling our friends and our loved ones that don't come to the house of God, they don't have the opportunity to say, "Come on, let's go." Get ready to see what we see. Get ready to hear what we hear. The only things that God can do. He told John, he said, the eyes of the blind, the lepers were cleansed. And what? The preaching of the God, you know, to the poor. The gospel's preached unto the poor.
Yeah.
Only God can bless a man to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't go to a seminary and preach as good as an old Baptist can do it when he rightly divides the word of truth. And the Lord is pleased to open up the eyes of a little child and to see something much greater than he ever thought about. Looking at himself in the mirror and thinking, oh, you know, just like Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, here, look at me, look at me. Oh, yeah, look at you, down in the grass, feeding off the grass. It ain't too hard for the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar didn't have his eyes in the right place, did he?
Right.
No, he didn't. He needed to see something, how the Lord had blessed him to get to where he was gone. And the Lord's blessed each and every one of us. He blessed you exponentially to be here tonight, to be here part of this meeting, to glorify the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to give him all praise and glory.
Yeah.
Not to the preacher, but to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He deserves all of it.
That's right.
Because why? He has opened up our eyes. If you love the Lord and you love the brother and your eyes have been opened to greater things that you can look at, and you look into the Word of God and you study, the Lord is pleased to open up your eyes when you're putting the effort to meditate, to study, and to look at the things that he has preserved for us all the days of our life. And it'll be here long after we're gone. Because there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And if he's with us, who can be against us? There's nothing that shall separate us from the love of God. There's therefore now no condemnation there in Romans chapter 8. If you can pluck somebody out of Jesus Christ's hand, and his Father, which is greater than all, if you can pluck yourself out of his hand, then you can separate. But it says that you cannot do it. What? No man No man can separate me from the love of God. If I'm in the hand of God in John chapter 10, I've got eternal life. There ain't nobody. There ain't nothing above. There ain't nothing below. There ain't nothing that Elon Musk is going to create in the AI world. And anything, space trucks and whatever else. There ain't nothing in the future. There ain't nothing in my checkered past that's going to take me out of the hand of my mighty God and his mighty hand. I can tell you that right now. I can preach that because it's in the Word of God and it says so. But Jonathan saw something. So he was willing to go through sharp rocks. He was willing to get up there, go against the Philistines. And they ran, you know, it was awesome display. Just like, the servant saw the horses, a chariot. Can you imagine that? You're like, I just did not see what I just saw. That had to come from the Lord. It does. You can try to preach to somebody. You can try to teach somebody. And they may not understand. And you're having a really good conversation. And you just pray, man, I wish he could see what we got. And you're like, it's so plain. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. How hard is that to understand? How hard is that to see that all that the Father giveth to him shall come to him? Right? Amen on that one. You know, serve it up. And they're all coming. Win, lose, or draw, there ain't nothing going to separate them. There's nothing going to prevent them. When the Lord speaks, he gets a response. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Y'all probably want me to sit down, so. So, I'll just end in Psalms 23. How about that? That's a good one. Everybody's familiar with Psalms 23. David saw some things after going through great trials, many of things. You know, he went up against a bear, the paw, the lion. You know, he went up against the giant. He made a lot of things, and he got in a lot of trouble. He counted the people. He got, he was where somewhere he shouldn't have been. I'm not going to get into that story. There's a bunch of things that David fell short of. But David, in Psalms 23, I believe he could see the Lord just how he is as the reigning shepherd, the redeeming shepherd, the shepherd that cares for his sheep, that takes care of the sheep. And he lays it out so wonderful. Just so wonderful. Why? Because he saw him. And he magnified him in such a way that the Lord is my shepherd that I shall not want. Ain't one child of God that the Lord can't supply their every single need. Every single time. And he says, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be fed. The Lord's going to feed it. Because why? Because he's the great shepherd. He takes care of his sheep. Amen. He says, I shall not want. There's nothing that I stand in need of that I'm not going to receive from the mighty hand of a God. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. It's him that maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Not out here in the dry, parched grass of this world that gives you no sustenance. You know, you ever go out to a field, a pasture, and you lay down there, and it's nice and soft. And that's what it feels like sometimes under the gospel of Jesus Christ and the doctrines and the words of grace and all that above. You can lay down and receive the warmth of the sun. People make fun of my kids all the time. They never wear shoes. We were way ahead of them. You know, they had that grounding, you walk outside with bare feet and they're like, we were way ahead of them, man. We done took care of that a long time ago. So when all people give me a hard time, I'm like, we're grounding, man. I don't know about you. We're doing it. But it's he that maketh me like that. It ain't you. It's the great shepherd of the sheep. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. David's eyes were open. He could see Jesus, his Savior, just how he was. And he lays it out there. That's why this is read at funerals. This is why everybody knows Psalms 23. Why? Because it's so great.
Amen.
That's why Amazing Grace. I once was blind, but what? Now I see. They saw some stuff. David saw some stuff. And he lays it out there. He says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, if I gave you a glass of water, and I got what they call ET. It's called essential tremor. You may know what that is, brother. But if I give you a glass of water, it's going to be all over you. You ain't going to be... When the Lord gives you the water, he leads you beside the still water.
Yeah.
It's very nice. It's very good to the taste. Every single time. It's a still waters. He don't lead you by the troubled waters. You see troubled waters out there? You better head in the opposite direction.
Right.
You better get going because the Lord's not in it. He's not in it. The Lord wasn't in the troubles that Peter saw in the rough waters. The Lord is right there at him. He was walking on the water. They were both walking on the water. They were high above their troubles. But what did he do? He looked down. The Lord didn't tell him to look down at what he just stepped out into. No. He said, come. Peter said, all right, let's go. Let's go, just like the servants. You know, Jonathan said, come on, let's go. So he says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. You get the point here? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Who's doing all this? The great shepherd. Amen. That's how he takes care of the sheep. This is a picture of the shepherd and his sheep. And he cares about every single one from Adam to the last heir of grace. He cares about every single one of them. He knows the road ahead. That's why he leads you beside the still waters, because he knows the road ahead is rough for the child of God. It is encouraging to know that when we walk hand in hand with the Lord and he's leading us in paths of righteousness, and you can feel it and you can see it, and you start to get goosebumps and everything, and you just know that the Lord is in our presence, that the Lord is with us and he's leading us. If we want to be blessed this weekend, we need the Lord, the great shepherd, to lead us in paths of righteousness right up till Sunday, whenever y'all close down on Sunday. That's where I want. But then again, Monday morning, they say Monday morning blues. I want him to keep on going with me. I want to keep feeding. You're nothing too hard to the Lord. And he'd take a few loaves and fishes and feed the multitude. They didn't think they had nothing. It ain't too hard for the Lord. That's what Jonathan said. He said, the Lord's able to save by few, he's able to save by many. That's what he told him there in 2 Kings. Look, let's go. We got this. The Lord is on our side. We got the shepherd. We got the reigning shepherd. You know, Peter said he's the bishop of our soul. It's amazing when we can see. They all saw Jonathan, Jacob, you know. He led Jacob in the waste, you know, took him out of the waste out of the wilderness and led him in the way, is what it says in Deuteronomy 30:10. It's wonderful. All the saints, they looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. What were they doing? They were looking. You know, in the Old Testament, the book of Moses and the prophets, they all talked about the coming of Messiah. And then we got the Gospels and the Messiah was with us. And then after that, it talks about the returning shepherd. The great shepherd, it talks about him coming back. I can't wait till he comes back and I can see him. It's good to see y'all, but I'm looking for something a lot better than y'all. No offense. No offense. Y'all look really good, honestly.
Yeah, we do.
You do, boy. You look good. I told you I can't see very good, so you probably look great, brother. And he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I walk through it. I don't walk into it. I walk through it. Why can I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? There's death all around us.
Right.
But I can walk through it when he's holding my hand.
Amen.
Just like they were on the road in Emmaus when they're coming back after the crucifixion, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they're trying to figure out who this guy is walking with him. He wasn't walking with him. He was leading them down there. Yeah. He led them into scriptures from the Old Testament and expounded upon the scriptures. He was leading them. He was leading on paths of righteousness. They were all down and out. What happened? You don't know what's going on? You know, they crucified the Savior. He just led him on down the path, whatever. You know, Mary thought he was the gardener. You know, she didn't see him who he was. No, he revealed himself. She saw him. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's glorious. I hope it's as glorious as it is for you as it is for me. I just eat it up. He says, I will fear no evil. Why is he not going to fear no evil? Because for thou art with me. That's the key to unlocking the door. That's why we don't have to fear what man can do to us. Because why? Because God is with us. And he reveals that and opens up your eyes in regeneration. And you know that there's something better. There's something greater. And I want to see more and more and more of it. I can't get enough of it. And he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm telling you, growing up with two brothers and a sister, Dad's rod and staff did not comfort me. We'd be going on a road trip, and Mom would sit over in a passenger seat, and we'd be lined up in the back seat, and we grew up a Ford Escort diesel with vinyl seats in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
That's parent cruelty. You know what I'm saying? Child cruelty. It is. We sticking to the seed. Sticking. That's right. And we'd start acting up like kids do, right? We start acting up, and Mom would take that paint stick and go. That was not comforting. They said they loved me before they did it. I still don't believe that. I still don't believe it. But his rod and that staff, they comfort me. The rod of correction from the Lord is a rod of chastisement. When we get out of the way, he can get us back in the way. And that's because he loves us. And I believe him. Still have my doubts about my mom and dad. I have no doubts. When I feel the chastising rod of my Savior, I know he's doing it because he loves me. And it's comforting to me to know that he still cares for me. No matter how much I fall and how much I stumble, his rod of chastisement, young, it's a thing that should comfort us, knowing that he still cares for us. It's amazing that the God, the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty cares for undone sinners, but he does. If he didn't, he would never send his son to die on the cross. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And that's what the Lord did with Elisha's servant. He prepared a table in front of his enemies. They were surrounded. They're surrounded. But the Lord prepared the table by opening up his eyes to feast on something a lot greater than that army could ever do to him. He says, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. It's not a half full or half empty. You can say, I'm pessimistic or you're optimistic, depending on how you see the glass. Well, the Lord's glass is never half anything. It always overflows. It don't trickle out. It don't spill over. It overflows like Niagara Falls would be like a little creek in my backyard compared to when the Lord blesses and that cup overflows.
Amen.
He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and what I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the house that he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's the house I believe he is talking about. He said, I'll dwell there all the days of my life. Because when we draw our last breath, our life's not over. We're going on to be with the Savior. And that's what David wants. He saw that he had everything with his shepherd. He didn't want anything. He knew that the Lord led him in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And it wasn't for your sake. It was for his name's sake. We're not down here to glorify man. We're here to glorify God.
Amen.
And all that he's done for us. And that's what he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I told you I'd end it in Psalms 23, but I'm going to quickly race over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I want you to see what they saw. I know this is, I just want you, when I read this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Lord opened my eyes to see what was going on there that Paul was trying to instruct them. He said, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Yeah. It says that in a great trial of affliction, I ain't talking about a bruised elbow. I ain't talking about a knee that I'm going to have knee surgery on. That ain't kind of the afflictions I'm talking about. They were in a great trial of affliction. And then the abundance of their joy in their what? Their deep poverty. Well, where I grew up and where I live, they call it being broke. Okay? They call, and when it says deep poverty, they broke. Okay? Yeah. They ain't got no money. They're in the hole. Did that stop them? They saw something greater. They saw the need to support the ministers. They saw something when they were going through a great trial of affliction. Somebody gets a, you know, bumps their knee and they call the pastor and be like, I ain't going to make it to church if I got a sore knee. You hear all kinds of stuff. They're like, are you kidding me? But it's telling, they were in a great trial of affliction. They were being persecuted beyond measure. We ain't seen nothing. We think that things are coming our way. We didn't go through anything like they did. And they were going through what it says, a great trial of affliction. And they were broke. That's what deep poverty means. Did that slow them down for what they saw? They saw the need to support the ministers. Paul goes on to there and he says, for their power I bear record, and yet beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. They saw something much greater than what they were going through. Anybody else is going to cry the moody blues and is going to say, woe is me. I ain't got no money to support. What do you want me to do? Just like the widow gave more into the treasury than all of them of their abundance.
Yeah.
And she said, she gave greater. So when you think you put enough in the pot and you think, well, I gave enough. Well, when a little child comes down and fills your heart with throwing a nickel, a dime, a quarter, and a penny, do you realize that that little child just gave him way more money than you did?
Yeah.
Do you think the Lord's pleased when that child of God comes down there and gives all their want? That's what it says, that widow. She gave all her want. She gave it all. They gave it all. No matter what they were going through. Why? Because they saw something greater. And that's how we should be as child of God. We should be looking for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should be honoring Him and who is who He is. Just like He told John, I gave sight to the blind, I cleansed the lepers, and I preached the gospel to the poor.
Yeah.
How much greater is that? I love it. I just want you to see some things that I saw. And it goes on down there to encourage them. In verse 9, it's one of my favorites. It says, for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. That you through His poverty. He had it all. He had all the riches of glory. He had everything beside the Father. And He gave it all up and became poor. He had a crown of thorns laid upon His head. He didn't have a bed to lay in. The birds, the fowls of the air had nests to go to. The foxes had holes. But the Son of Man had no place to lay His head. He was born in a manger and it was nasty. Don't tell me it's a nativity scene. It was horrible. Horrible. He knew it, but He still did it. He still did it. He through His poverty, that we might be rich.
Amen.
I want you to know the Lord, but more than that, I want you to see those glorious things that He has given to us in His Word and that we can hear on a regular basis. Every time the house or the door is open, we should be filling our seats. Ready to listen, ready to see, and ready to hear those things that was been taught down through the ages. I just love it. I grew up in PB. I always want to be a PB because I know that we believe in a successful Savior. And we believe in a returning Redeemer. And you just can't say enough about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that He opened up my eyes a long time ago. That I may feast upon His table, that He has always prepared a table for me in front of my enemies. They're all around us. Only the Lord can prepare a good meal like that. Only the Lord can go prepare a place that His, at His Father's house are many mansions. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They wanted to know where He was going. They wanted to go. And He says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. We followed Waze app on the way over here. That did not help. And then I had a couple of brethren call us and say, no, take this exit. This is, you got it. Well, we listened to them. Should have listened to Waze. Waze ain't perfect all the time. But the Lord is the Waze.
Right.
You follow the Lord, you'll always go in the right direction.
Amen.
He will always lead you beside the still waters. He will always do it. And He's not going to lead you astray. He's going to lead you beside the still waters. Thank you for your time tonight.
Amen. Amen.